Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi guys, welcome back to High Priestess. I'm Erin.
I'm Persephone.
And today we're going to talk about confidence, and hopefully you're going to listen. Shall we get straight into it?
Let's just go straight in, confidence.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Is there a defining moment that you can think of that your confidence was really shaken? What's the first moment you think of? It's quite a personal question, I guess, so we're going straight in.
100% though, yeah.
Take it away, you have the floor.
So, I need to preface it with, I think throughout my entire life, I've always been told, you're just a confident person, but almost like with an element of like surprise.
Oh.
How are you so confident? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're just such a confident person. Things like that. And I think I've always had like people coming at me with like an element of like, how did you get that? Like, why? Like, what about you? Like, it's almost like an entitlement thing.
You know what it is? And you're going to absolutely hate this. It's not reflective of you, but that situation is...
Mm-hmm.
The whole discourse around how did you get confident or I just love your body confidence, and it's someone who is bigger, and it's like, I just wish I had the confidence like you to
100%.
Wear shorts. It's like, right, so you think that I'm not good enough to be wearing shorts. There's the undertone of surprise. It's like, why should I not be confident?
Kind of Lizzo posting a picture of herself in a bikini and everyone being like, you're so brave, clap clap clap, you're so brave. It's like, no, but
yeah,
like, you're not, it's not brave.
Yeah, it's like, why is that brave? Yes, completely.
And I think there's definitely been an element with me of like, people are so confused to see a confident woman.
Since how old, do you think?
Well, I definitely was like a confident child and a confident teenager. And I think, I also think a lot of this comes down to popularity, and that I've always been popular. So I've been taught that that's how you occupy the world. But I think the moment where it was shaken was I joined a drama club when I was, and I'd always been involved in like drama. We were just talking about this earlier, that in High School Musical, you identified as Gabriella.
Yeah.
I identified as a Sharpay.
Yeah, I was told it, yeah.
Classic. So I think when I joined a drama club, I think I was about 14, 15, and it was a specific drama club where everyone was a lot older than me, and I was the youngest one, and I thought they were all so talented. Like, I literally thought they were incredible. Basically, the club was called Whippersnappers.
Why? And I...
Because that means that young, I honestly don't know, but the name was called Whippersnappers. And I would be like, oh my God, I've got the whippersnapper feeling. Like, before I go, but I've got the whippersnapper feeling. Like, I don't know what is the whippersnapper feeling. Later to find out if that's called social anxiety.
Yeah, you were nervous.
And I think that was the first time when I realised, oh my God, like, you're not this confident person. Like, you have the capacity to be, like, incredibly insecure.
Did something happen in the, what were the classes like? Were you shy? Like, were you not being loud? Like, what was it? What was different?
I was just the youngest. I was the youngest, but you know when you're the youngest in a group and you're not the baby, you're not being like, oh my God, she's so cute.
Yeah, you're too old to be cute. You're kind of ugly, pubescent.
Yeah, you're just the young one. Like, it's just kind of like catch up. It's not like, oh my God, you can play the baby. It's like, no, you just need to be as good. So I was definitely like super insecure in that way. And I think that then bled into like, you know, when you're usually with your peer group at school, and suddenly when you're with like a lot older and you're the like child of the situation, it's like, oh fuck.
And also you're the oldest of your siblings.
Yeah. And I'm the oldest of my siblings. I'm pretty old in the year. I'm a December
baby.
Birthday.
Yeah.
Big old Capricorn energy. And it's, I think it was like, you're not the leader of this gang. You can't be. What about you? Was there a moment when your confidence was shaken?
Was there a moment when my confidence was shaken? Lots of moments that my confidence has been shaken, but nothing like that. I'm quite impressed with the... That was exactly what I wanted from you.
Well, that's just one moment that I remember thinking, oh, you're not the main character. Like, you're not the one that's like, come on, guys, we're gonna... that's an area that I'd always taken charge, like, in drama.
Right.
And then that was one where it's like, no, you're not in charge here.
Was it like an ensemble of them? Or was there one kind of girl that had the spotlight? And do you know what I mean?
There was one girl that I thought was so cool. And she had like a bit of like a punky look. And I thought she was so cool.
I mean,
cool.
She would, wouldn't she?
She had like a side fringe in the days where like people classic. Had side fringe. But her side fringe was like especially cool. Kind of went over one eye. But like, do you know what I mean? It was a bit too long.
I'm sure she regrets that now.
Yeah, together.
She like can't see out of one eye where it's been so strained.
She's like fully got one, like she's blind in one eye. There was also a guy that was like a lot older. Also, I fancied someone in the group that we were doing like a love scene.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? Yeah.
We were like lovers in the play and I basically fell in love with him. And then there was also a guy that was a lot older who I just thought was honestly like the next Johnny Depp. Like I was like, he's...
How old?
He must have been like...
How old are these? Were these people like 40? You were like 15-year-old girl.
So maybe I was like 12, 13, 13, 14 sort of thing. Like I'd say around 13 and they were probably like 16, 17.
Yeah.
They looked so cool.
Oh, so they're really cool and you're like a loser. Like, you're kind of like full absolutely. Knickers and year six was not far from you.
My boobs are still growing at this point. Like, they're still growing.
And they're kind of having sex.
And these people are like, that we've got to go out for a cigarette. And I'm like, oh my God.
Completely, yeah. Okay, let me think. What was the confidence about? What you felt like you weren't... the leader, you were confident in leading and that was shaken, you were confident in your talent.
I think it was my positioning within the group.
Yeah, the dynamic.
I think that was like my positioning within the group. I've always been like in the group, not even in a leadering way, just in the group, like a voice within the group.
Were you allowed like child and teenager?
I was quite like a precocious child. Maybe not so much the teenager. I'm not sure. I've definitely always been like opinionated.
Can you give me some more?
But I want to hear yours though.
I don't know what mine... I don't have anything interesting to say. So I'm really interested by yours. Like, I can't think of one moment.
Wait, so why can't you think of one moment? Have you... You just feel like... Has your confidence always been strong? Or has your confidence always been shaky?
I don't necessarily... I wouldn't say my confidence has always been shaky, but I wouldn't say my confidence has always been strong either.
Mm.
But there isn't really one moment that... has shaken me.
Also, I just want to say that we're discussing this because we've got some comments that say things like, you guys just have such a great sense of self, like you guys just really know who you are and things like that. And
which is amazing that it appears that way.
I love the sound. I
we love,
the
to
sound
hear it.
But it's also quite interesting because that's not so much how we would perceive ourselves, and I would look at other people and think, oh my God, you have such a great sense of self.
Mm.
And sense of self has never been like a conscious thing, I think, for either of us.
Now it is for me.
Really?
I think over the past few years, my sense of self has been a conscious thing for me.
I would say recently, like within the last few weeks,
wow.
Who I am has been called into question in specific ways, like what I want and things like that.
I think over the past, like, it's different, but I think I've had to think a lot about my sense of self since I was probably about 16 because I had to move out when I was 16.
Yeah.
And that was on me. Like, I think it was more so that, I don't know, I was an only child and I was pretty quiet and very peaceful and no one would really interrupt that. That was never really interrupted by anything.
Mm.
But when it was and I was slightly older, I felt like I should have had someone to like save me, and it wasn't happening. The months, like weeks, time was passing, no one was saving me. And I was like, shit, I'm gonna actually have to speak. I'm gonna actually have to raise my hand and like speak for myself. Do you know what I mean? I'm gonna have to cause a scene.
Yeah, completely.
And scene was caused and it was great. And I think I just think it was part of my awareness of myself that I was quiet. And so, and not out of any reason, out of confidence, it's not for lack of confidence. It was more, I think it's twofold. I was quiet because in a way I much prefer to observe for the most part. And like,
almost for your safety. Like, it's safer to just be an observer rather than be the one that's, like...
risking it all.
Fighting.
But also, then, the other part of it was kind of... I don't want to say I looked down on everyone, but, like... if I'm quiet in a situation, it's probably because I think you're a dumb bitch. And, like, I feel like I don't... The things that I'm going to talk about are not going to interest you and you're just not going to be able to comprehend my scope. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not going to... Like, if you want to talk about X, Y, and Z... but you have no understanding of A, B, and C, which is where my
your understanding is coming from.
Yeah. If we're just not compatible, I'll be quiet. I'll entertain you. I'll humour you. I'll give you the space. I'll give you the stage. Yeah. You can have your fun. You can make your jokes. And I'll make you feel great. I'll laugh and I'll clap and I'll be an amazing observer. But yeah, then I just actually had to back myself.
Was there a point when you decided I'm going to back myself?
When I had to move out, I was like, this is a long story, I'm not going to go into it, but I had to leave my family home as a child, as a refugee of my own home, because, I don't know, it wasn't safe for me. It wasn't safe emotionally or physically. It was, it got to a point and I had to leave. And that in itself is quite an extreme situation, that it doesn't really make sense for you not to be extreme.
Completely.
Is that you can't be calm in a situation that isn't calm, even though I was calm, but like you can't be quiet in a loud situation because no one will hear you if you're whispering when everyone else is shouting. You need to be loud. You need to raise your voice.
Also, you kind of owe it to yourself in a place where you are being mistreated. It's like, wait, now it's come to a point where I have to say something.
Completely. Yeah. I think that situation, and then I came out alive, thank God. And I think that was just like, oh, okay, well, I've done that. And I felt really good for doing that. And it worked out. And it was really like liberating. So it was like, okay, well, then fuck you lot. I'm just going to talk the most shit. I'm going to start a podcast. Like, I'm going to be loud. Like, you're going to know about it.
I love that.
I think that was the moment. Because before then, I had no, everything was fine. It was peaceful. I had no reason to announce anything. Do you know what I mean? And then I think the more that you see things that you don't want to go untested. I don't know if it's so much about confidence as much as it was about finding, I don't want to say finding my voice because that's cringe, but just like using my voice.
Oh no, I love finding my voice. I do think it is a thing of finding your voice though, because it's like if you think your voice is invalid and then suddenly it's like, oh no, I need to use this for my safety. Mm. It's like realizing the power of like, oh, if I just speak up for myself,
I can get out. Yeah.
I can be safe. Yeah. I love that.
So now I think that situation has obviously shaped my whole confidence like in me now today. In that situation that you described that shook your confidence, what have been like the hangovers of that, if any?
Yeah, I definitely think there have been hangovers from that. And I think it was sort of pointing to, rather than being like a one-off thing of like, in this specific group, you feel stressed. Oh my God, I just got an email saying Cineworld cinemas are reopening.
What? When?
Best news ever.
I'm still not going for another like 4 months, probably.
No, me neither. But I'm glad to see my favourite place, my home, is reopening. Yeah, I think it kind of pointed to a larger issue in that, something that would face throughout my whole life. Rather than just like, this specific group makes you anxious, it's like your sense of self is so at the centre, it's so based in ego that you are the centre of the group, that when you find that you're not, you're going to be shook. Every time that you get placed or like on the peripheries of a situation, it's going to shake your ego so badly.
Mm. Or when you feel like a dynamic has been set up without you and you're coming in late.
Yeah, I think I'd be really uncomfortable with that. Yeah, 100%. If I feel like I'm late to something or kind of just missing the communication, like I feel that everyone else has an understanding that I have missed, I would have to take it upon myself to be like, okay, what about this is unsettling to you?
So for example, a seminar.
100%. When I went to uni, oh, that's what you're getting at, I see.
That's what I was getting at, yeah.
Got it. 100%.
Therapist.
Erin knows my life story better than me. So that definitely came into play at university. When I went to uni, sat down in my first seminar, I was ready. I had my books. I was ready to learn. I was like, learning, this is my whole thing. English literature, I can do this.
Math, it's the same in every country.
I'm in for this. I know what I'm doing. It's books. I can do this. It's books and talking. Sat down. Boy,
were you wrong.
I sat down. The teacher goes, okay, guys, let's just go around the class. And we're all going to say our names, little fun fact about ourselves. My tummy starts turning. Oh, God. My tummy's turning. I'm feeling kind of homesick. Too much pressure. And I'm nervous. They go
nervous.
Round. They're going round. Here we go. It's coming up to me. Could be sick at this moment, because for some reason that kind of setting, I've always said that my anxious scenario is a group between, I think it's 11 to 20 is my like group that I've always said is like, that's not good for me,
it's too much,
which is a weird saying that I've had ages, like if it's between 11 and 20 or like what, I can't remember the numbers now,
kind of the thing that we were saying before about I'm just not a morning person. It's like, 100%, oh, now you put yourself in a box, you're gonna make it worse.
it's like, oh, what, so if there's 10, you're fine?
Exactly, yeah. What about 10 and a half?
I think I've always said, my justification for that has always been, oh, but you don't want it in a group where, you either want it where you say nothing at all, or where you're in a group of three and you're the main, like, you're one of the main people talking. If you just have one chance to speak and you fuck it up, that's the worst thing ever. Like, you don't want to just have one chance and...
You've got one chance to speak.
But that's kind of a seminar to me. It's like, you've got one chance to prove your point and say it, or, like, say, hello, my name is Persephone, and my fun fact is that I read The Colour Purple over the summer holidays, which is what I said.
You start crying.
Which is exactly what I said.
That's a fun fact about you. You read The Colour Purple.
Well, no, I think we had to say what's one book we'd read the summer before, and I said, I read The Colour Purple by Alice Walker.
You fucked it. That's not a fun fact.
I don't know. We had to say the book that we said, and then the girl next to me, like, turned to me and was like, oh my God, yeah, I love that. And I, like, couldn't keep
eye. Oh, she threw you off.
I couldn't keep eye contact. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, move on.
Did you ignore her?
I think
that's,
like,
quite bad. You've just given a speech. Someone says, oh my God, I love that too. They're nodding, they're trying to make genuine interaction, and you're like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Well, I think I did say something. I think I was like, yeah, love it.
Yeah,
and then, like,
quickly
looked at the person next to me, like, take the pressure off me. Like, you can feel everyone's eyes on you, which was a strange thing, because I love having people's eyes on me. Like, I love that shit. If it's like an audience of people,
yeah,
God, that's my jam. In that situation where it's like, you're going to get a minute of shine and then it's going to be handed over, I think I'm uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, and it's like, you have to make that minute incredibly shining.
Or then you're the nervous girl
forever.
You're the loser.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Just going back to what you said about people being shocked by your confidence, where do you think your confidence came from?
I think I was just always raised with, like, a sense of, like, importance.
Elaborate.
But I also, this leads into a question that I was going to ask you, in that in our popularity episode, we talk about the fact we've always been popular at school.
Okay.
And I think my confidence is only so much from me as it is from the external things that I've just been fed.
Oh, I was going to ask you something.
Oh, really? Does the same thing?
Am I going to step on you?
Well, I was just going to say that I've been fed an important sense of self by the world.
Mm.
So of course I think, oh, well, I'm happy being the centre. Yeah, because your friends have been the centre too. You've been in the centre group.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, I guess, maybe the theoretical question behind that, is your sense of confidence derived more from yourself internally or derived externally from others?
You're joking. I literally wrote in my notes, confidence :external/
yeah,
and internal ? Yeah.
We should start a podcast.
I know. Well, everybody should. Well, can you go first? Because I've been talking my ass off.
Okay, here's my confidence. It's annoying because I was thinking I was going to ask you this, not ask myself.
Well, I was thinking I was going to ask you this.
It's my confidence in myself or others. It's my confidence in myself or others. Well, yeah, we've both been fed. Because that's what I was going to say when I told you to elaborate, when you say, as a child, I was always fed that I was important, a sense of importance, etc. Same. But I think I express my confidence in a different way to you. And I think also I have a different... The things that we want from situations are different. Or the ways that we act or manipulate situations are different.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I think our confidence at certain ages would have in a way paralleled one another, I reckon in situations we would behave very differently, i.e. our parents getting divorced and you, like, made it a really
show.
Fun story. Yeah, you made it a show for attention.
I built a narrative and made it a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't.
Kind of, why would you do that?
Which is just boring. But I know that you and I behave differently.
Which, by the way, we will discuss. We are doing a parents in divorce episode at some point where we will go into.
We will, yeah.
Because we've had lots of requests, but.
Yep. It's just like, God, you're asking for the work, guys. Like, you don't ask much, do you? We give you a little 30-second snippet on a podcast. Don't say I don't treat you. Yeah, I just wonder, in ways that I think we both would have had good, or like a strong sense of self, etc., whatever, a good understanding of our own confidence, even at a young age, I wonder why they were expressed differently. Do you know what I mean?
Completely.
I think it's interesting that people are shocked by your confidence. I would just love to know why. Well, the reason that I'm hung up on this is because I think the opposite, in the way that even though that is the same for me, I've been told I'm the Gabriella, I, in a way, that makes me worse. As in that acts as something that it's counterproductive. It deteriorates my confidence more so.
In what way?
Remember I said to you, in school, they do superlatives.
Love it.
And at the end of maybe sixth form or something, they did like most likely to blah, 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 blah. And there was one prettiest girl. They did prettiest girl, prettiest boy. Very, I don't think you could do that now, but No, this wasn't even long ago.
No, it sounds absolutely horrific.
But just in the sense, I reckon they would do prettiest, but I don't think they would split it, girl and boy.
Sounds pretty awful.
Yeah, well, anyway, and I was thinking, oh my God, if you won prettiest girl, like, you just can't, you can never think you're not pretty because you've won it. Like,
you've got an award to prove it.
It's a validating thing.
You can never say, oh my God, I just hate my face again.
You've got the award to prove it. So what? Everyone's lying to you. I just hate the way I look. I hate the way I look, blah, 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 blah. And I remember thinking,
yeah,
you win prettiest girl, you're set, basically. Like, you can never think I'm not pretty. I was quite truant. And I'd heard whispers of this girl being nominated for prettiest girl. And that was what I was thinking. Oh my God, well, if she wins that, she can never think that she's not pretty. Blah, blah, blah. She can never think that. Come to the day, this is a real weird flex, but okay. On the day, sat in the thing, and the guy who was organising the awards was like, Erin, you've won something. And I was mortified. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna have won, like,
yeah,
most likely to not turn up for school. Or, like, I thought, like, oh shit, like, I'm about to get absolutely, like, torn apart. Like,
this is not a good feeling.
Fuck, like, I've won something bad. I didn't in any way think that I was nominated. I didn't know that I was nominated for anything because I wasn't fucking turning up. I wasn't there when they did the votes. I literally didn't know this whole thing had been happening.
Yeah.
And then got there and they were like, oh, most prettiest boy, whatever, pre-tesh, I think.
Who?
Prettiest girl, Erin Emirali. Everyone does a clap. Okay, amazing. That's me, by the way. And then move on to the next thing. And I just...
Honestly, world-shifting moment.
Yeah, world-shifting moment, but in the worst way, because the first, immediately, everyone's clapping, and my friends are going, woo, yeah, like, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's, like, re-screaming. And it's just, like, tunnel vision, looking around the assembly, thinking...
Oh, absolutely.
Which one of you motherfuckers voted for a different girl?
Oh, God.
Which one of you right now in this room is thinking, how the fuck did that ugly girl win prettiest girl? Yeah, I'm thinking,
oh my God,
this is bad. This is a bad moment because you're thinking...
You don't believe it.
You just don't. I just didn't believe it, which sounds... Again, it sounds stupid. It sounds like I'm being like, guys, when I was 16, when I was 18, I won prettiest girl, blah, blah, blah. But it's when you win, well, when that happened, it was like, I know there are people who disagree. I know that's not true. So it just, if you're willing to not believe it, it's the same thing that we always say. If you're, how do you say it? You'll find the evidence for what you choose to believe.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Absolutely.
So even though the evidence is you've won this award, you're still thinking undeserving.
Well, you're going to be tallying up the people. So you didn't vote, this must have been a 51-49 split.
Exactly.
This is a Brexit situation.
Well, this must be a joke, even. I was literally thinking this must be a joke. But now I'm like, yeah, fuck you lot, prettiest girl. 2K15.
We always say this in terms of, like, career. Of, like, so once we've done this thing, then you cannot be insecure about anything. Once you've done that one thing, I definitely used to think this quite a lot. Like, once I've reached a size 8, I will never be sad again. I'll be 100% happy. It's almost like, once you've won prettiest girl, you can never think ugly. Yeah, you can, because you will just discount it. You'll just discount every single bit. Like,
I need to get an A in maths. And I need to get this job. I need to do this. As soon as he's my boyfriend, as soon as they like me, then I'm good enough. It's like, no, the human condition, you will never be good enough. You may as well just be happy.
This is what I also think with confidence being internal, with an internal sense of self. If you're trying to fill the void of, so you have a, not you, one has a lack of confidence and you win prettiest girl or you get the boy that you think will validate you and you're trying to fill your void, your confidence void with all of these things, but it's never good enough because you can literally just discount all of these things unless it literally comes from like an innate sense of self, which I literally, do not message me saying how do you build that because I don't have a fucking clue.
I think I know, but we'll get around to it.
Well, I think I know, but it doesn't help anyone because it's like, maybe she's born with it. Like, it literally,
that's
like,
the thing. Everything sounds cliche until you understand it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the discourse around confidence and sense of self and blah, 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 and contentment and happiness and success sounds really, really cliche until you're in it yourself and you've like got a grip of it. Because I think up until that point, you're looking for the quick fix. You're looking for the, you're typing in how to lose a stone in 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
You're typing in like how to be smart, how to be funny, how to be pretty. Like you're, when you're preoccupied with the fickle things, the superficial stuff, it does all sound like ridiculous cliche, but it's only once you've got a grip of how fickle that really is, then you can see that the cliche really is the only stuff that actually means anything. And it's not tangible.
Yeah, and those things don't actually result in happiness. Those things could contribute towards your happiness, but they will not bring it about themselves. Yeah. Like those things independently, like absolutely. Oh my God, if I just have the perfect dress for this event, I will just be so happy forever. Like I just need to walk in and be like, wow, at the fucking prom, you want like this big moment. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, your Hermione moment.
The things people dream of. Yeah, you saw Hermione at the Yule Ball and you just think, if that was me, I would be so happy.
But it's so true. Think now, how many instances have there been where you placed happiness on a moment or an achievement or a tick box, a check and a goal?
And now that feels like distant history.
And that was months ago and you're still miserable and you immediately complete it and you're moving on to the next.
Absolutely. Constantly.
We've all done it.
I remember this exact thing. Such a good example of that was that I did this. I had this thing where I was going to read poetry to an audience.
Was I there?
You were there. You were present in the audience.
I was.
This wasn't actually that long ago. And it was I took part in like a 6-week sort of program of up and coming London poets.
It was very cool.
It was cool. But also I was, everyone else there was like established poets. And I was very much like, I don't know how I'm here. Like, I don't know why I'm in this group. Like, what's going on? And at the end, we had to read our poetry to like an audience. And I remember thinking, if I do this, I will never be sad again. I will never be nervous. I will have ticked off the biggest accomplishment. Like, that is such a terrifying thing for me to do. One, write a fucking poem. Two, read it to an audience. Like, that, I couldn't even comprehend it. And after I did it, I was exhilarated. Like, you were there.
Oh, it was so good.
To be honest, I'm not gonna lie, I killed it. The whole room bawling with laughter, I must say. My inner stand-up comedian came out.
Laughter with you, by the way.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The whole room bawling with laughter. It wasn't a sad poem.
Oh no, it was a comedy. Turns out it was a comedy.
It's satirical, yeah.
It was genius. And it was, well, in my mind, I absolutely killed it.
Yeah, you did.
I came out of it. And I remember I was on the train home with my flatmates. I was like, I will never be sad again. I was like, I don't know when. I remember saying, I don't think I'll ever come down from this.
Little did you know. Cut two.
And oh, how quickly the validation wears off. Like, it comes down.
Completely. The veil is thin.
Well, the next morning, you wake up in your room and it's kind of covered in the clothes from the night before of like what I was planning on wearing. And you're like, oh, okay, I guess I'll make a cup of tea. Like, it's like when the claps, the distant sound of claps are fading.
Yeah. Yeah, it's suddenly very quiet. Yeah.
Suddenly quiet in that room and you think, oh, maybe I should write another poem. Like, it's sort of like you're just chasing this thing. But if you have a thing that you're instantly, your internal monologue is just clapping for yourself anyway, then you don't need it. But I'm there going, come on, let's hear the applause.
Completely. Yeah. Just thinking about people being like, how are you so confident, blah, 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 blah. And I reckon it's a lot about how women aren't expected to be confident. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, completely. I think that is the crux of it.
I think it's more about how a woman occupies the space and you aren't necessarily womanly in the way that you occupy the space.
I actually think, just thinking about it just in that moment.
Yeah.
I think because I've definitely been raised by, like, a lot of, like, strong female figures.
Yeah.
That it's not unheard for a woman to be, like, ruling the room and, like, saying her opinions. And then in a group, then when you're put in a classroom situation, when you're in a group of boys, and everyone's kind of like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. It wouldn't be natural for me to, like, not say my opinion. I maybe have a more masculine approach, in quotes, masculine societally, approach to, like, my own opinions or stating my opinions.
Mm. I agree with you, and I actually also... I agree with you, but I also think it's complex because I've had a very similar situation, and that I think the most guiding force in my life has been my nan, who I just can't seem to shut up about.
Oh, she's a priestess. She's in every episode.
She really is.
What's her name, by the way? Why don't I know her name?
Well, she has quite a few names.
She goes by many names.
She honestly is a faceless man. Yeah, she has... Yeah, truly. Alter egos.
Yeah.
Well, so she would say, call her Betty.
That's so funny. That's hysterical, because I said to you, this was ages ago when we were coming up with...
Yeah, but Betty is like Rizzo.
Well, no, it's so long ago. We said, think of our conversation. We had a thing where we were saying to each other what names would suit each other. And I said, what name for me? And you said Betty, and I got offended. I said, that's a fucking old woman's name. And you kept saying, no, like Rizzo.
But it is like Rizzo.
But that's funny that you thought my name would be your nan's name. You see me as your nan.
But I obviously don't see my nan as a woman called Betty. I see her as Nan.
Yeah, but still, if I said to you, oh, you really suit the name Merville. You suit the name Merville,
which is
my
obscure.
Nan's name, my grandma's name.
That's far more obscure, but also it's more about...
You've just really, I don't know where I'm getting this from, the name Merville for you?
But my nan has like 10 names.
Got it. Okay, go on.
Like, she actually does have like 10 names, like one from a communion and one from when she was a kid and
Got
one
it.
Of this and one of that. One in Ireland, one in England, one in London, one in Dublin. Yeah, I mean, like, she, you know.
Yeah.
She cares about, some may say. And she is definitely, in a societal sense, a masculine presence. She's been single the whole time I knew her, because my granddad died, unfortunately. And she has always, and even both, like, my mum too, have always been like, you need to, if you're going to be with a boy, you need to be with a boy who is going to, like, do the housework.
Oh, that's the dream.
I've definitely been taught, especially by my nan, to, like, lead... To lead.
Yeah, to be in charge.
And, like, not wait to be led. Yeah, like, my nans are so independent.
To make decisions for other people.
Completely, yeah.
To be a control freak.
To be a dictator.
Yeah, to be literally a dictator.
But my nan is definitely, like, strong-willed and headstrong. And so I think I'm really, really headstrong, but I also think I'm a bit of an Aaron Burr, and I like you know... what does he say?
He says, there's nothing like summer in the city.
He does say that, yeah. But he also says something about...
He says, I'm a trust fund baby, you can trust me.
You can trust me. Every proclamation guarantees free ammunition for your enemies.
Oh my God, I've got shivers. In his voice as well.
And it's just like, yeah, I don't go spewing... I mean, here I am on a podcast, but I don't go spewing my opinions, even though you might think that I do. Because the more you give, the more people have to use against you.
I completely agree.
So I feel like... I agree with you. I've had a very, like, matriarchal sense of life and sense of myself within the world and, like, occupying space. But I think I've also been more observant, probably because I'm an air sign, because we like to keep our intelligence. I think it's about intelligence, thinking that you're above people. And so to spare them the insecurity of, like, you're not going to understand me, so I may as well just shut up.
It's a crazy thing to think.
It's a joke. Like, that's that's the rudest thing, but it's so true. I don't think I think it, by the way, on a conscious level, but I reckon there's a bit of a Libran air about me that is just like...
I just won't bother.
Yeah, it's just kind of like my mind is not facilitated by you when you just want to talk about, like, fake tan. Oh, that's fucking rude. It's fucking gutting, but it's also true.
Oh, I'll talk about fake tan till the sun goes down.
Well, I want to talk about the patriarchal and the,
yeah,
like, racial issues of fake tan. I don't want to talk about which one is going to give me a bronzy glow.
Well, I want to talk about it all, and then I also kind of want to talk about how I've been putting coconut oil on my hair, making a mask. Like, I want to talk about it all.
Yeah, because I'm also really traditionally feminine in lots of ways.
I think that's where the confusion is, though. I think that's the thing of why are they shocked that you're confident, is in you act traditionally masculine in the fact you are not scared to put your opinions across, but you look traditionally feminine.
Completely. Like when... I got my results. Remember I told you this? I got my results and my head of year, they were obviously amazing grades, and my head of year sat me down and she pulled them out. She was like, oh my God, I didn't think you were... Oh, yeah, well, I just didn't... And I was like, sorry, what was that? She was like, no, I just didn't, you know, oh, doesn't matter, I shouldn't say that.
What was she saying?
It's like, well, because I'm the fucking hot girl. You thought I was a dumb bitch.
So she was going to say she thought you're...
She thought I was dumb because I'm a girl.
Results were going to be shit.
Yeah.
Because you're pretty.
Because the boys fancy me, so I must be dumb.
How hilarious is that? It's like...
No, bitch. Gabriela Montez, motherfucker.
It's kind of book smart. It's kind of book smart of, like, you can be both. You could have been, you could have had all the boys fancying you, and you could have got 4.0 on the GPA.
Give immaculate hand jobs or whatever she says. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we could have done both. It's like, yeah, you literally could do both.
Yeah, you could have.
So that poor little teacher was only doing one.
But you're 2000 and late. Yeah, Miss Savile, she was a fucking cunt.
Sounds like one.
Hate that bitch. I actually really hate her. One time I was on my period and I wanted to leave to go to the toilet and pee, and she knew I was on my period because I already said I'm on my period to try and get out of doing pee. She didn't let me. And then she wouldn't let me go to the toilet, and I was like, I'm fully going to get my tampon out and shove it in your fucking mouth if you don't let me go. I didn't say that, but I thought it as I walked away calmly.
That is hilarious. That is actually
also
hilarious.
I don't use tampons anymore. Moon cup queen, sustainable queen, plastic free periods.
I'm gonna get my moon cup out and shove it in your fucking mouth.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my moon cup out and pour it down your throat.
Teachers were crazy. Like, teachers be crazy, man.
There's like about yeah, meanwhile I'm saying I'm gonna get my moon cup out and pour it down their throat, and I'm like, teachers are crazy.
No, they are crazy. I remember thinking of PE, I had some fucking crazy situations.
PE teachers, 100% sample size of psychopaths. No sane woman thinks I'm gonna be a PE teacher. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Message us if you are a PE teacher and you're a nice normal human being. I think female PE teachers hate girls.
Absolutely, completely agree.
So it's like, just go and fucking teach the boys then, you fucking bitch. You've got issues. You can see our trauma coming out.
No, I think they've got they're sociopaths. They want to control. They want to force everyone to run. They like to see people.
They want to see you sweat. They want to see you red in the face.
They want to see people. They want to see women in pain.
Yeah.
So I'm on my period. I've got blood coming out of me, and I feel like I've got knives in my fucking womb. But you want to see me run from do a fucking bleep test? Beep. Go faster.
Oh, you're whipping it. You're mad. Oh. Absolutely fuck off.
Do you want to hear the crazy thing that this PE teacher said to me?
Yeah.
So she's the headmaster's wife, and the headmaster was also...
Okay, got it.
Who's a teacher. And they were both teachers, and they were both PE teachers.
Oh.
So me and my friend, it was raining for PE, and we had to go outside. Disgusting. Oh, in the days when you're a fucking 13-year-old, you're insecure.
You've just spent all morning straightening your hair.
Straightening your hair, exactly. Straightening your hair, putting your makeup on because you're insecure and the boy you fancy is fucking next door. Mm. I'm sorry we live in a patriarchal world.
Yeah, and also I'm just living my best life over here while you're an ugly 35-year-old PE teacher who hates herself. I'm sorry that your boyfriend thinks about someone else while he's fucking you. Now move on, stop taking it out on me.
And you want me to play hockey?
Fuck off.
And you want me to play fucking lacrosse? Are you mad? Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Love it.
So we took our umbrellas outside because we were like, we're not doing this. We're just going to stand outside with our umbrellas because we're not fucking getting our hair wet.
Oh, I can see it now.
So yeah, you can imagine. And she was literally like, and she said to us, literally crossed her arms and she's like, girls, you're lucky that you're even at school. You're lucky that you're not getting whipped whilst you're at school. You're lucky to be here, so can you put those umbrellas away and take this seriously, please?
Whip me, bitch.
And it's like, you just told me I am lucky.
Whip lucky. Me up.
I'm so grateful that you're not whipping me right now.
Wow.
It's like, God, you're actually out of your goddamn mind.
A white woman.
A white woman. Whipped.
Dear.
I mean, it's insane. But we used to be quite bad to PE teachers.
I would love to do an episode on school and like makeup and uniform, patriarchal rules.
I think it comes up quite a lot in this podcast. Yeah. I speak to some of my friends from school about the podcast, and they were saying it's interesting how much school comes up.
Mm.
Because it is quite a recurring theme.
Well, it's so formative.
But I think, yeah, it's like, it does teach you about like political systems from a really young age. Like, it's such a political sort of hub where like all the structures that we have in later life are at play, but with a really small condensed system.
And I think also we look back and are like, if only I had the vocab that I do now.
I think there's so much.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, you're lucky that you had me at 14
where
I just took my earrings out and kept quiet.
Yeah.
You're fucking lucky, motherfucker.
You are so lucky.
See me in the streets, Miss Saville.
I always think this, though. I would love to go back in time. Time machine, get me in a TARDIS. But I'm me. I've got my brain, but I look like I was then. My hair was straightened within an inch of its life. I had the foundation lips on. I'm ready to go.
Oh, amazing.
I'm ready to go. Yeah. And... oh my God, the things I would say. Just, I have the intelligence I have now and all the lessons.
Defo. I definitely did put up a fight though.
Yeah, but it wasn't articulate enough.
Not as well as quipped. Exactly, yeah.
It was kind of, you're just a bitch anyway.
Well, I kind of was going at that. I remember saying, there's a stupid guy called Miss I'm actually not, I'm going to stop saying my teacher's names because...
Yeah, like, they literally get letters.
There was a stupid guy teacher, male teacher, and he was kicking off about wearing makeup. And so I went a thing of like, why does a 35-year-old man get to tell me, a 13-year-old girl, what I can put on my face based on his sexuality and his preferences that he has towards young kids?
Absolutely, yeah.
And that was, I think, pretty good for a 13-year-old or whatever. But now I would be like... this is a bit much for a podcast, but I was going to say I would trick him into, like, touching me and get him fired. I have so much anger.
No, but the thing is, I don't think that is extreme though, because it's like, it's not tricking them into it. They would do that.
Well, yeah, if you were going to touch me, you're going to touch me.
Also, there are so many things at school that I just thought you were attracted to me. You as a teacher.
Oh, 100%.
You were attracted to my fucking friends. We had one teacher that came up to us once and he was dodgy anyway. And he was kind of the hot teacher. So everyone kind of fancied him. But and he was also a PE teacher. So psychopath anyway.
Psycho,
absolute psycho. It's like, your personality is you have a six pack, so you became thought you could teach people about it, like, you're fucking weird and you want young children to fancy you, you're a freak.
Ooh, yeah, that's an interesting dynamic.
It's completely true. You know that the kids all fancy you and you love it.
It is kind of part of the sell though, because I would think, all right, if I'm gonna be a teacher, I'll be a, like, all the boys will fancy me. It's kind of a role.
I don't think I have any desire for the kids to fancy.
I don't, but I see how people get into the role. I don't. So honestly, catch me in, like, teaching school next week.
But yeah, and I remember he came up to, like, my group of friends, and one of my friends was sitting there and she was kind of like pretty girl. And he was like, oh my God, I had a dream about you last night. And she was like, oh, what was it about? And he was like, I can't tell you. And it's like, oh, you're a paedophile then. Okay, you had...
Well, let's get this guy killed.
Well, I have some fantasies about petrol bombing his house.
I'm down. I'm so down. Give us the name.
So yeah, teach the psychopaths and...
And that's the end of our podcast. Yeah, I would love to get more into that at a later date.
We will. I think I have so many complex views about teaching.
I reckon you lot have got good stories too, or horrific stories, but I reckon you lot have got good points to discuss.
Yeah. Well, there's so many things about school. If you think fucking school uniform is a fucking scam, is an absolute fucking disgusting sexist scam.
Well, let's save it.
Makeup, school regulations. disgusting. We've already covered two points that are completely sexist. The fact that they segregate abilities at such an early age based on SATs results, which is disgusting, and also based on your family's income.
How were your SATs results, by the way?
Stunning. But they do it based on your family's income as well. How disgusting is that?
Yeah, horrific.
So school is a scam and I hate it. I actually don't, but I
same.
Would.
Never
I can't
back.
Wait to reorganize the entire system.
Same.
Back to confidence. So something interesting that I think, I was talking about this the other day, of like, do you feel less or more confident within quarantine?
Mm.
And I was kind of thinking of it in terms of, like, you don't really look like yourself in quarantine, because it's like, you don't really put on looks and outfits and all this stuff. You're not really going out. You don't really look like yourself, but do you feel more like yourself? And I was thinking, in terms of thinking about recording this podcast, do you feel that your confidence comes from presenting yourself externally in a certain way? Like, do you feel more confident when you've put on a look, like makeup, you're ready to be presentable in the world as you want? Or, do you know what I mean, like, in the bath?
Well, when you had this conversation days ago with me, I said, I'm not sure.
Was it with you? God.
Yeah, it was, but...
This is the thing, I realised that I must go around having the same conversations with everyone. Yeah. Because I was saying it to my sister and my mum, like, do you feel...
Because remember I said it was Lucy Moon was saying her friend had said that she feels better when she's just in joggers, you remember?
I remember, yeah.
That she feels better in joggers, no makeup, whatever. but Lucy Moon was saying that she feels good when she's like got herself together and is like in a look. And I was kind of saying to them, to the screen that I was holding on the phone, I said to her, but she didn't hear me, that it's a bit of both for me, I think.
Yeah.
I almost think it's not even about the external. It is about my state of mind in that moment. Because say I've got this look and it's a great look, and I put it on Monday and I'm feeling great. And in that way, then you could say that, yeah, my confidence is coming from the external. It's coming from a patriarchal facet of life. But in the same way, I could have that very same look and put it on next Monday and I'll be like, I look so ugly today. I look horrific. I hate myself. I have no confidence. And it's really not about the look, and it's not about the patriarchal makeup and all of that. It's about my own internal.
It's about perception.
In the same way that some days I could be wearing nothing in a very natural state and feel really horrific, and another time I could be wearing the exact same thing, looking the exact same way. Physically, nothing has changed, but emotionally,
everything's different.
Feel great. So yeah, I think it's much more about my personal sense of self just on any given day, and it really can change within any given day. I don't think it's about
with any given minute.
Yeah,
like mine's not even the day, it's like,
yeah, it's any moment. Who knows how I could feel.
God knows, I could see the wrong thing. Yeah, downward spiral from there.
I definitely feel good in a look, but I also feel good not in a look, and like, and same for bad, vice versa. I think it's more about my internal. So I wonder what it is then about. Do you agree?
Let me think.
Or do you always feel better in a look?
No. I was thinking, I completely agree that it's mixed. I think I feel most myself when I am in like as little as possible, kind of reading something I really like watching something I really like, or in a bath, walking, like with my dog. Do you know what I mean? Like I feel most myself when I'm like stripped back. Like I think I feel most like confident in my like being of my soul when I'm like in as little as possible and kind of very much alone. Like very much kind of doing my own thing.
Yeah, your natural state.
But then again, I completely feel confidence in a look. Like I love being in a look more than anything. Like I completely love that. Like cannot wait to put on a fucking jumpsuit.
Honestly, I'm grinning at the thought. Yeah,
just honestly can't wait
to be in a look. Yeah,
like honestly, put on like lipstick, like, oh my god.
So what do you think it is then?
I don't know. I guess they're two different areas of confidence. One is like an innate confidence in yourself,
yeah,
and one is the confidence that comes with knowing people fancy you and are looking at you and thinking, wow, I love that she's doing, like I love her hair. The confidence that comes from knowing that external things are looking at you and like the show that you're putting on.
Yeah,
I love that. And I also like, they're different kinds of confidence for me.
I just wonder what changes within the moments. Do you know what I mean? What makes us have a bad confidence day, or what makes us have a good confidence day? Is what's just, it's just like hormones.
No, I think it's like you saw something.
Do you know what I mean? Like my airy fairy mind is, yeah, exactly. It's like, what, how can I place that?
Well, do you ever get it where you've been scrolling through something like in the morning? Like I, at the moment, I'm really not going on my phone in the morning because I just think it's a really horrific thing to do to your brain.
Mm.
But like, do you ever get it where you've been scrolling in the morning, scroll, like you do like a 20-minute scroll, you get up and you're like, why do I feel bad? And it's like, you've seen something in that 20 minutes with the millions of things you've just consumed. Something didn't sit right with you.
Probably all of it, yeah.
But like there's been a thing, like there was a moment that you just scrolled past and you saw something and something clicked in your head and you can't place what it was, and you're having to like trace back your steps of like, what was it that's triggered me? Do you ever get that?
Yeah, but I don't even think it's one specific thing that I've saw. I reckon it's a mixture of, oh, now I've just spent my morning scrolling, and also, and just being exhausted by, I've set up my day by being completely stationary in my bed, just like moving my finger slightly and just like indulging in other people's lives.
And you've set yourself up as peripheral. Like you are the watcher of other people's lives.
Exactly, yeah. You're looking
at, not the centre of your own morning.
Yeah, yeah. But then I also think it's not, it doesn't even need to be that I've seen one specific thing. I think it's just the overall tone of being peripheral. Just a lack of self.
Yeah, completely.
Sense of self. Because suddenly I'm seeing like kind of someone's friend's comment on their pic, and I'm indulging in a friendship group. I've never met these people. I'm like clicking to see where their dress is from and I don't even like it. Like my brain just feels very simultaneously over and underwhelmed. Not a good way to start a morning.
Completely. And meanwhile, it's like you've got like a delicious bit of pancakes that could be eaten downstairs and like a stack of like Harry Potter books behind you that you could be reading. Do you know what I mean? Like you've got stuff that you... I definitely feel that from like, God, I am surrounded by like amazing things. Like my dog is downstairs. I have so many things. I could fucking read the rest of Lord of the Rings right now, but I spend my fucking morning looking at friend of a friend of a friend of a friend's boyfriend's mother's sister's cat's Instagram all morning. And it's like, why did you do that?
I agree.
So definitely, I think that leads to a lack of self. 100%, I think you're right when you say your sense of self in that situation is gone. You're not yourself in that moment. You're just a pair of eyes.
I wanted to ask you, in terms of a very psychological, in terms of Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Oh, wow. Love it.
How far are you from self-actualizing? Or have you self-actualized? Because I have a whole thing of where my ideal self will meet my actual self and I'll know that I have self-actualized and I am being my best you. Well, because I was thinking it this morning. Have I self-actualized? Like, when will I self-actualize? Like, what does that look like? And beyond just, like, my basic needs being fulfilled, what I was initially thinking, I'll probably self-actualize when I'm probably about, like, 40. And then I was like, how funny to say, oh, I'm going to self-actualize when I'm 40. Like, it's literally the thing that we were saying earlier of, like, placing happiness and success on, like, a later date, on an event or something.
And it's also, I'm a morning person thing. It's like, why when you're 40? Like, what's happening when you're 40? On your 40th birthday? Oh, my God.
Exactly. It's just, well, I'm not going to self-actualize now. Yeah. But it was actually based in the fact that, then I got in further and I was like, well, it's not just about being 40. It's the fact that I cannot self-actualize until I've been a good mum.
Wow, okay, love it.
Do you get what I mean? And so I could self-actualize in the sense of, yeah, my 23-year-old self, for example, could look like that. But until I've been a good mum, I feel like my life's purpose and my whole scope of what I want and who I am and what I can do and all of this, somewhere in it needs to be being a good mum. So until I've done that, I can't self-actualize because it's just not the case.
I completely understand and I completely agree.
Kind of you're brought to tears.
I'm like, wow.
Stop it.
I think my thing is like a bit, I need to be not only a good mom, but I need to be like completely successful. But I don't mean like successful under capitalism. I mean successful in my own understanding of success in that have created something that I'm like really proud of. And like, I have like a pet cow. I'm successful in the way that I envision my life to go.
Yeah.
I was thinking this the other day. I think I will have self-actualized. I think the thing I want in my life is to be kind of have a home that would have one of those fridges, you know, that has ice that comes out of it and things like that.
Got one downstairs.
Really? Well, you've
completed it, mate. Yeah.
Self-actualized. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how stunning I want my life to be, like so easy and like leisurely.
Okay.
Because at the moment, I'm having to, like, get a tray of ice and,
well,
like,
that's really awful,
fill
yeah.
it up and things like that. Like,
that's really awful.
It's like, I just want, like, a leisurely life. Like, I have ice that comes to my thing, like a fucking boiling water tap.
I was going to say, I want a boiling water tap and I don't have one of those.
Yeah. Just my life is so leisurely. Like, that's when I think I would have self-actualized. Like, I go downstairs, like, my robot comes out and, like, greets me. Like, my alien husband,
serves
like,
you.
Is beautiful.
Yeah.
Just my life is so stunning. And I have, like, pigs in the house, cows in the house, a baby lamb. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm in a stable.
Nice. Yeah.
It needs to be stunning. And I live in a... And I have a water park in my garden.
Completely. I agree. So, what stops you from self-actualizing now? Money?
Well, I think there's a lot of steps before I could even get to the place. Like, there's a lot of stuff I need to tick off before I can live in my like boiling water tap house.
Yeah, but a lot of psychological stuff, because it's not the achievements kind of stuff. I think in a way that I completely agree, there's loads of things that I need to have to self-actualize, but I think largely it comes down to self-actualize, I would need to be, my sense of self would be strong in the sense that it wouldn't be every moment it's a lucky dip of whatever, like, who are we going to get today? Like, what self-esteem are we dealing with today? Like,
this is it, yeah.
The thing that we discussed earlier, I think that's when you self-actualized.
Completely. And all jokes aside of having a fucking fridge with the fucking ice in, which I do want, that actually has nothing to do with it. Like, genuinely, yeah. That was all nonsense.
No, I think it does.
I will die happy if I do not have any of that stuff. But yeah. I think the thing is, the lucky dip is so genius. Do you remember we said it's like we're walking on a tightrope and any gust of wind could just blow you off?
God, we're depressed. We're so melancholy.
And then we get messages saying, you guys are so confident with a great sense of stuff. It's like, we said we were walking on a thin tightrope and any gust of wind
could
blow us off. We're clinically insane.
God.
Like, we're like actually hugely depressed. But I think it's like, when I'm walking on a thick tightrope, like I'm thickening my tightrope, like there's less chance of a gust of wind being able to dismantle my entire like being and life.
Exactly.
I think my self-actualization is that I'm not on a tightrope at all. I'm like in the middle of like a field. Like, you can't blow me off. Like, I've just built my own fucking like platform.
Completely. I completely agree. Yeah. Security.
Look at the metaphors.
Beautiful. I feel like we've come to a natural close.
And now let me go read that at a poetry thing and stunning. Get a load of applause and validate myself. Everyone's like, ha ha ha. And I'm like, no, I want you to laugh.
Everyone bursts out laughing.
Like, because it was supposed to be sad. Well, that's so stunning.
I feel really, I just feel great.
Do we have any tips that for people? We've got questions saying, how do I become confident? Like, how did you get your sense of self? I know we've touched on it, but it's like, do we have any practical tips?
Well, let's give one each. How did you get your sense of self?
Well, I haven't even got sense of self, but I can grow your confidence. What's that like? It's like, I can fix a broken bone in a heartbeat, but growing them back. It's like, I can grow your confidence.
Completely, yeah.
I've mentioned this before, but it's having like a proof list of things people have said to you. And I've mentioned this before on the podcast, I don't know when.
Mm.
But something that I think is so stunning is creating a list. And it's the thing of you'll find the evidence of what you choose to believe. Create evidence for yourself so you can believe that. Like, change what you're believing. If you're believing, oh my god, that person looked at me and they thought I was ugly, there's no evidence there. Write down, get a note on your phone, write down every single achievement.
Stunning.
You've done, things people have said to you. Oh my god, I love your skirt. Write that down. I love your skirt.
Yeah,
all of these things. And before you know it, you will have literally a load of evidence that you can choose to believe. That's my, they grow your confidence from there. Just make your life easy rather than harder.
So true. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, make it easier to find the evidence. Well, that's kind of partly mine. Mine was just stop fucking around. I feel like I got confidence and like a sense of self when I just thought, well, I'm just going to stop fucking about. Like, I've got a choice. I can either have a good, happy life or I can be fucking miserable. What do I want?
Yeah, and focus on yourself.
Either I just kill myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, or I just have a fucking good time. And obviously it's not that fucking easy. Like, not everyone's born into situations that we are. I think we do have a lot of choice in life.
I also think there's, I've been doing this recently. This is really morbid and really bleak. And I know there's going to be a group of people that hate to hear this and hate that the podcast is ending like this.
Yeah, go on.
Remind yourself that you are going to die.
Yeah, no, love it.
You're going to die. Like, that is definite. And I know that's depressing for some people, but it's also very stunning. Like,
it's liberating.
You have one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. So
yeah,
literally, you can choose to live that one life before you die. Also, you don't know when that's coming. You don't know.
Get your head in the game.
So you can either worry about, oh my god, I should be a size 8. I should be a size 8. Oh my god, I hate my fucking eyebrows. I don't fucking know. Or you can just think, fuck that. I've got shit to do while I'm here. Like, I want to have a fridge that has a fucking ice dispenser. You can fucking go get one.
Have you ever done that thing where you, I see people talk about this a lot, where you look back at an old like picture of yourself, for example, and you're like, why did I hate this picture? Because I look fucking great.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when I've seen girls do this a lot, I'm so fat, and then years later they get bigger and they're like, oh my god, why was I so hung up on calling myself fat when I was really skinny then? And it's like, if only you just enjoyed your time with your life and your body however it was looking, you could have enjoyed your years rather than looking back, and now you can see it for what it is. Oh, and you're still miserable. You've been miserable the whole time. Stop fucking about.
It's like, have you ever seen those videos of 80 year olds give their younger self advice, or advice that 80 year olds
would
give? And every single one of them is like, don't fucking waste your time thinking about, oh my god, that boy didn't like me, that person said I was ugly, that person thinks I was stupid.
Wear the bikini, apply for the job, sing in public, do the whole thing.
Do the most embarrassing things you can. Start a podcast. I just think it's like, do all the most embarrassing things you can do. And laugh in your grave when everyone else is bored in their graves. All their little ghost fucking ass like, oh my god, I wish I was thin though.
Haunt them. Haunt them all. Haunt all of your paedophile teachers.
Dreamy.
Oh my god. That's when I've self-actualized.
Do you know what that is, haunting your paedophile teachers? It's kind of like, Magnus, leave my bumblebee alone. Oh my god, you haven't seen Matilda. I just realised it's like...
No, but I know the reference.
That's kind of what I aim to be in life.
Yeah, completely.
Well, thank you so much for listening, guys.
Yeah, genuinely. Thanks. serious. Sounds like I'm joking, but I've actually never been more serious. Like, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Never been more thankful. This is our Thanksgiving and we're thanking you big time.
Oh, big time. We have reparations to pay, you guys.
Oh, big time. So leave us a review on Apple. We say it every time. Leave us a review on Apple if you want us to keep going with this shit. And share it to your story.
Message us your thoughts.
Message us.
Shower us with love. We don't ask for much.
Yeah, and also we've been getting a lot of people saying, like, I sent this to my friends and I'm showing all my friends. It's like, yeah, go show this to your friends. Discuss us, bitch about us. We want that.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it. Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks, Effie.
See you next week.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.